Wessels, Andrew. Elms Haven, St. Helena, California. October, 1903. Dear Brother Andrew Wessels, I have a deep interest for your welfare. The Lord has something for you to do. He would have young converts, after they have given themselves to Him, take hold of His work, trusting in His promise. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. John 6, verse 37. You are to be His witness. He calls upon every member of the human family to cooperate with Him. Ye are laborers together with God, He says to His disciples. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. The adversary is not asleep. He presents apparent difficulties to the minds of one who is striving to overcome. He knows well the weak points of the inexperienced Christian's defense. You must constantly be on your guard. In fighting for the crown of eternal life, you must be determined to win. The first chapter of 2 Peter contains precious instruction to those who are trying to live the Christian's life. It is of deep interest to all who have given themselves to God. Grace and peace be multiplied to you, the apostle writes, through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Verses 2-4. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. 1 John 5, verse 4. Andrew, my dear friend and brother, will you be one of God's little children, willing to be instructed daily? Will you often remember that He loves you so much that He gave His life for you? The love of God is as high as heaven and as broad as eternity. You have been purchased by a price that is beyond computation. Jesus is coming soon. He left His family here in this world with the instruction, "Occupy till I come." Luke 19, verse 13. To each one He has given talents to be traded upon, but He has not given to all the same talents. He has a work for you to do, Andrew. Do you ask, what is it? Place yourself where you can use your powers of mind to the best advantage for Him. But that is not all. Your physical powers must be employed in His service. In order to gain strength, you must give your physical powers exercise. No youth can engage in constant study or sedentary employment and have harmonious action of the physical, mental, and moral powers. Every part of the living machinery must be used. Both mind and body must be given exercise. Abstain strictly from all stimulating food or drink. You are God's property. You are not to abuse any organ of the body. You are to care wisely for your body, that there may be a perfect development of the whole man. Is it not an act of ingratitude on your part to do anything so to weaken your vital forces that you are unable properly to represent Him or to do the work He has for you to do? Your time belongs to Him who has purchased you with an infinite price. He wants you so to use your powers as to glorify His name. If in the past you have failed to realize that you are not your own to do with as you please, but that you belong to God both by creation and by redemption, will you not now redeem the time? Seek to live a useful life, a life elevated and ennobled by the thought that you are God's property. Seek to improve that you may be of the greatest possible use to your owner. Will you not try, Andrew, to put to use for the Master brain, bone, and muscle? May the Lord impress your mind and the mind of your brothers during the little time left you in which to work to the glory of God. Surrender your life to God and remain true to Him. You are not to be an idler. You are to enter the Master's service. If you will take hold of the work to which the Lord calls you, you will have the help of the heavenly angels. The Lord loves you, and He will strengthen and bless you as you watch and pray, seeking help from God, confiding in His wisdom. Prayer is your safeguard. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Matthew 26, verse 41.
Selfish indulgence brings only present gratification. But if you will give your heart to the Lord Jesus, He will make you one of His little children. And why should you not make it the great business of your life to honor the Omnipotent One, He who keeps life and breath in your body? Honor Him who so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. Why should you remain away from Him who is preparing a heaven for you, if you will only prepare for that heaven? Why should you choose momentary pleasures, a few earthly indulgences, and neglect to secure eternal life in the kingdom of heaven? Christ declared, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." John 14, verse 6. I wish, Andrew, that you would talk of these things to your associates, who think little regarding the Lord's claims upon them. Can you not be the Lord's missionary among your friends and acquaintances? Thus you can be learning how to do acceptable work for the Master in wider fields. I long to see every soul walking in the light, for God has a work for all to do. How can human beings for whom He has done so much refuse to heed His call? He left this world that He might go and prepare a place for His people. "Let not your heart be troubled," He said, just before He left His disciples. "Neither let it be afraid. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Verses 1 to 3. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And He that sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And He said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And He said unto me, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Revelation 21, verse 1 to 12. Since Christ is preparing this rich and glorious kingdom as a home for the children of God, how can we be indifferent? How can we manifest such ingratitude to God as to slight his offers of mercy? How must the Lord regard those who will choose ungodly associates rather than the society of those who love and serve him? Gratitude should be cultivated in the soul, and the praise of God should be upon the lips. John continues his description of the holy city. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Verses 22 to 27.
My brother, will you not cease to please yourself, and with strong determination set your heart to seek the Lord? Delay not, do not remain longer on the side of the great rebel, but give your whole soul to God. Repent, because you have given so much of your time and talents to the enemy. Before the heavenly universe, you may now take your stand, to choose the good and refuse the evil. Why choose the disobedience that caused Adam and Eve to lose the right to their Eden home? By so doing, you forfeit your right to the Eden restored. Run no risks, but seek the Lord while he may be found.